This is JLPT Bootcamp, the ultimate guide to passing the JLPT in less time with less pain. This is the JLPT Bootcamp podcast with your host, Mac. This is episode 121 of the podcast. This is a kind of a special cultural podcast, basically just talking about what it's like to live and work in Japan. I do one of these once every 4 weeks, and I also have another podcast every 4 weeks about what I'm doing to study, what's effective, what's not effective, that I do once a month as well. So, but today, talking about the name game. So, in Japan, your typical full name, full Japanese name, is made up of four kanji. There's two kanji for the first name, or the given name, if you will, and two kanji for the last name or the surname of someone. And there are somewhere around 600 or so actual extra kanji that are used just for names. But names also use common kanji, like the most common last name in Japan is Tanaka. And that first part, Ta, is rice field, and Naka means in the middle of. So Tanaka literally means in the middle of the rice field, which is where I assume that person's great ancestors lived, in the middle of the rice fields. So you have common names like that. But then there's, of course, more complex names that can include kanji that people aren't familiar with, that aren't normally used, those name kanji. And it seems to be like kind of the latest trend is to use kanji that's so complicated that most people have a hard time recognizing it, much less actually reading it, how to pronounce those particular kanji characters. And in addition to that, different pronunciations of the kanji can be used to form different names. So to eliminate all this confusion, there's usually a space actually on application forms for you to write the pronunciation of your name in katakana above the where you write your name in kanji. And where it gets tricky is for names that are natively in another writing system, like Roman letters, for example, for my name. And when that's the case, sometimes you write your name in Roman letters, that's okay, in the main box, and the pronunciation of it in katakana. But sometimes you have to write your name twice in katakana, which is a little strange and redundant. Or in some cases, there's sometimes some poorly programmed web forms where you actually can't even enter your name at all. It won't accept katakana, it won't accept Roman letters, it just accepts kanji, which is some bad programming there. But kind of, and also to add to this, there are no middle names in Japan, of course. So if you're a foreigner with a middle name, like me, like most people from the West, that middle name becomes a part of your first or given name. So you kind of have a two-part first name. And this can sometimes lead to confusing situations where people have no idea what to call you. Is it the first two names, just the first part of the given name, last name? So this can cause a little bit of stress for those that don't have a name in Japanese kanji or in hiragana or katakana, which is pretty much anyone that wasn't born in Japan. And you kind of run into some issues with this, for example, getting your personal seal. In Japan, you use a personal seal. It's called a hanko or inkan. Hanko is kind of the casual name for it. It's what everyone has. Inkan is more of a word that encompasses more seals. Like hanko is kind of for casual use. There's another seal that's used for official things like buying houses or really high, what do I say, when you need to have a seal that really validates who you are, you need another kind of seal that's not a hanko. And So you needed to basically sign something. You don't physically sign your name. You stick the seal onto the form. And as a foreigner, you can also just sign your actual name for most occasions. But for whatever reason, banks seem to want you to have a seal of some kind. Most other places seem to be totally fine with a signature, though. For example, package delivery, at the post office, sometimes you have to sign things. You can just sign. But for banks, for some reason, you need the hanko. And for some official things, I think I might have needed it when I applied for some things at City Hall, but I'm not quite sure. But mostly you can just sign. And there's special shops that are set up that sell all manners of hanko. Jeweled ones, fancy ones, automatic inking ones that you don't even have to have a little inking pad to stamp things with. And also, if you're Japanese and you have a common last name, you can buy a hanko at the 100 yen store, which leads me to believe that it's not a very secure way to like prove who you are. So it seems like signature would be a better way to go. But anyway, you can get these cheap stamps at the 100 yen store if you want to validate your name. If you have a Japanese last name. So, but for foreigners, your name is usually converted to katakana for these stamps. Also, if you're a part of the national healthcare or pension plans, which now you're required to do so if you want to renew your visa here in Japan, you have to be a part of the national healthcare and pension plans. Your official name for that is in katakana. And because katakana can't really accurately represent the sound of your name, this can get a little complicated and be prone to errors. For example, I think my name has been katakanized about 3 different ways, if I can remember correctly. But now that I'm a part of the national healthcare and pension plans, it has become a little bit more official, because I usually use my official katakana name that's on that card, and try to match that as much as possible. But before, I just kind of used, you know, whatever I could think of on the day when I was filling out the application, which can lead to some problems. But anyway, for my stamp, though, for my hanko, things are a little different. When I first came to Japan, I was working out in the countryside, and the person that arranged things for me to get my personal seal used my last name instead of my first name. My first legal name is Clayton. But when I first came to Japan, they used kind of what I would like to call passport order, but it's kind of how things are arranged in Asia. It's your family name is first, then your first name, or given name, I should say. So, for example, in my case, the passport order is McKnight Clayton, and my name is Clayton McKnight. So my given name is Clayton, my family name is McKnight. So when my information arrived, the person that was helping me just saw McKnight Clayton, and so just took the first part, Mac, and made a hanko from that, because they only have kanji characters to make the hanko out of. So my hanko is actually Maku, long U sound, which means true sky. Kind of a strange hanko, but I could have had much worse. Some of my friends had things like Laughing Dragon and some other embarrassing combinations for their names, because out in the countryside, they don't have a hanko shop that can make katakana names, which seems a little strange. Of course, you can mail order, but you want to get it that day. So there you go. That's my that's kind of how my nickname became Mac, because whenever I stamp something, it says Macu. Actually, it doesn't say Mac, but it says Macu, which is not really my name, but it's close enough. And it's a lot easier for people in Japan to say Mac instead of them trying to, you know, instead of for me to try to keep a straight face while they mangle Clayton, which does not sound like it's written. Some people will say Clayton and all sorts of different combinations. So I just shorten it to Mac. Most of my friends here call me Mac. So that's how my nickname came to be. Anyway, for this whole naming thing can cause other headaches too as well. Not only for your hanko, the really big headache is with money transfers. Now, about 4 or 5 years ago, I managed to get a Japanese credit card, which can actually be a little difficult to do for a foreigner without a permanent residency, which is what I was 4 or 5 years ago. I didn't have permanent residency yet. But if you keep the same job for 3 years, they will, and you have good credit, they will typically give you one, which is really handy for online shopping and other things where paper money is just a hassle. Especially for electronics in Japan. There's a lot of big electronic stores in Japan, but they're usually overpriced for any kind of electronics. And so you can get a lot better deal usually online. And usually you can get electronics a lot faster. Sometimes at an electronics store, they don't even have what you want to buy at the store. And what's really kind of painful is you have to pay for it and then wait for it to come. That's what happened with my air conditioner for my apartment. I had to pay for it. I think it was somewhere around 100 and I don't even remember now, 150,000 yen or so, which is about $1,500 or so US. Had to pay that money and then wait a month or 2 months to get it. And this was like in the middle of the hot summer where we really desperately needed an air conditioner. And we had to wait for it, which was a little painful. So just be aware that if you do go to an electronics store in Japan, you might have to wait for some things. Some things, you know, like TVs, some other smaller things you don't have to wait for, but you might get things faster if you just order it online. Anyway, I applied through my bank to get this credit card, and I got accepted. I got the credit card sent to me in the mail, and a few weeks later I used my fresh piece of plastic for a purchase and received my bill in the mail. So far, so good. Everything, you know, came through. Just regular cut and dry stuff, really. But then when the payment due date came, my bank called me. Actually, they called me several times. I think like 8 or 9 times during the day. And they were calling me every 20 or 30 minutes while I was working. And of course, I didn't have my phone on me, and I didn't have it. It wasn't even on because I don't answer phones. I don't answer phone calls while I'm teaching class, obviously. And I thought, you know, somebody had maybe stolen my card or there was some kind of strange mistake or something. So when I finally did get them on the phone and got them calmed down enough to speak slow enough for me to understand, they told me that my name on my credit card didn't match the name on my bank account. And I think in that particular case, it was something like, the name on my bank account is in the kind of Western order, given name, given names, and then your family name. But the credit card was family name, given names, or something like that. I'm not quite sure. But it was basically, there was a name mismatch, and it was off by like a letter, I think. Now, this was my bank. Actually, someone at the branch of the bank that I applied to, that I signed up for a bank account at that physical branch, was calling me to tell me that my credit card that I applied for through them had the wrong name on it. And so it was kind of, you know, you'd think that they would double check things like this, especially since I think when I first applied, I had moved, and so they wanted me to change my address, and so I had to fill out an application, change my address, and do all this other stuff. So they double-checked that. They checked my address. But for some reason, they didn't double-check my name, which seems that really... I really started to kind of question the intelligence and the competence of the staff at my bank, especially since I requested someone that was English-speaking so I could, you know, be very sure that everything was getting through correctly. And they told me that there was no one... English speaking at the bank at that particular branch, but I had actually taught students from that bank English. So I don't know what they're doing at that particular branch. But anyway, there's similar problems that happen all the time with this. Just to give you another example, we registered our newborn, our daughter, at City Hall, and gave them our details for them to deposit the child assistance. Here in Japan, if you have a child, your local government will give you a certain amount every month to help you with child care expenses, feeding and clothing your child, so to speak. And they do that through a bank transfer. So my wife put down my katakana name, but apparently my bank account was in my Romaji name, my Roman letter name. So I had to go to the bank, change the names on my account. Now there's something like three different representations of my name attached to that one particular bank account. So the moral of the story here is that if you are living in Japan, I would personally, or you're going to be spending some significant amount of time here, I personally recommend that if you are going to be here, pick a katakana version of your name and stick with it. Write it down, put it in your wallet, and keep it and stick with that. I've come to use the one that's on my pension card or health insurance card. But if you're not enrolled in one of those programs, just make sure that you stick to the same katakana name. And also be aware that if you apply for something like internet service or cell phone service, there might be some delays caused by name mismatches or how you put your name down on the form, things like that. Same thing goes for money transfers of any kind, whether it's your paycheck or somebody just sending you money. If you don't receive it, your name might be the culprit. And also be aware too, sometimes what the biggest problem that a lot of people have run into here is people have tried to send them money, for example, their company, they try to send them money for their paycheck, and it'll bounce because incorrect name or something, and usually your employer or whoever's trying to pay you won't actually tell you. Sometimes they won't even know that it's bounced because they don't, double check. They don't confirm. They just send it and go about their business, and they don't get a notification that it has bounced back into their account. So you've got to double check these things, and it's kind of the onus is on you to go to the bank, go to your employer, go to whoever's trying to pay you, and tell them to try to send the money again. And when you do sign up for a bank account, I would recommend trying to put your name, if you can, put some alternative names. For example, the Western order, given names, and then family name, passport order, what I would like to call passport order, but it's kind of very common in Asia, is the family name and then given names. and attach those to your bank account so you don't have issues getting your money, because that is a real pain in the butt. I've had a few friends that, you know, they've left to go on vacation and expected money to be in their bank account. It didn't go through, and then when they came back, they had some bills that bounced, and they had to pay the bills, and it caused some headaches for them. So just something to be aware of with names. And also, too, while we're on the topic, I think when you're in Japan, there's your name. If you have an easy-to-pronounce name, then that's great. But I think for some people, if your name is just not a very common name, like Clayton is not a very common name. You've probably haven't heard that much. Or at least I haven't met very many Claytons in my life that are my age. And so you might have to just kind of change your name into a nickname, even a Japanese nickname, just to, you know, get through life and have people be able to say your name. Anyway, I'd like to know, have you had any name troubles living in Japan, if you're living in Japan? If you live in Japan, have you had any issues with your name? What happened? And how did you resolve those issues? I'd like to hear about those. You can leave me a comment for this particular episode. This is episode 121 on the blog. This you can visit the blog at jlptbootcamp.com and leave me an awesome comment there. Or you can, if you're just want to have a more general question, you can visit the site and click the contact me button and send me a question that way. I'd love to hear your questions. Or if you love old-fashioned email, you can email me. That address is mac@jlptbootcamp.com. I'd love to hear from you any of those three ways, questions about culture or about the JLPT. I always love hearing questions, so let me know. And until next month, have a good month studying. To claim your free 21-page ebook on the 5 biggest mistakes people make on the JLPT, as well as more tips and tricks to help you pass the Japanese language proficiency test, come visit me at jlptbootcamp.com.